Good morning. A Monday morning, we're with our Alan Schar Talk. Alan, President Trump has lashed out at Dr. Fauci amid criticism of the slow virus response. He reposted a Twitter message calling for Dr. Fauci's dismissal after the doctor said that shutting down the country earlier could have saved lives.
Dr. Fauci is, of course, a contemporary American hero. Now, look at that guy on TV and his strong ability to tell us the truth. And we look at a lying liar like Trump, who has been documented time and time again to not be telling us the truth. And it was inevitable that he would start to come after Fauci. You know, Trump's philosophy in life is, if it isn't me, it's no good. And here's Fauci, who he has literally shoved aside at some of these briefings that he's in. The right wing, for some strange reason, has decided that Fauci is no good. And it's probably because they consider him to be upstaging this president, who is such a liar. And it is inevitable that this is going to continue. Now, as Trump's ratings in the polls go down, and some polls now show him losing to Joe Biden by 11%, that's huge. He's got to be getting more and more worried, because the one thing this guy doesn't want to do is lose an election and become vulnerable to whatever legal and other procedures could affect him very, very greatly. So Fauci, of course, becomes a symbol of that frustration. And it was inevitable all along. You know, David, he has denied again and again and again there was anything but good feelings between him and Fauci. And now, of course, we have seen what we have seen with all his top advisors. He fires them as soon as things go wrong for him. He sends up, instead of a Fauci, who is America's premier guy on medical issues, he sends up Jared Kushner, making everybody almost ill because he knows nothing about this. You just wonder how those conversations go in the White House when Jared turns around to the president and says, put me up there, I'll do it right. It is a study in patheticness.
Meanwhile, Easter was yesterday. That's when the president originally said he wanted to see the country back open. Dr. Fauci says a rolling reentry of the U.S. economy may be possible in May, but we're seeing more cases now cropping up in China, and the talk has been all along of a coming second wave in the fall.
That's right. Look, let's face it. The president knows he can't win re-election if the economy is in shambles. The economy is now in shambles, and there are all kinds of signs of this happening. We are fascinated by the president's intervention to save the world's oil markets. And here's a president who's saying, I intervened in order to make sure that oil keeps playing the preeminent place in the world economy that it has. And how did he do it? Well, he brokered a deal between two of the worst dictators in the world, Putin, who has done nothing but try to save Trump and create the sense that Trump should win the election, and of course his pal, basically the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. So what we have here is a triumvirate of three very difficult people, to say the least, about who they are. And Trump is trying to take credit for saving the world's oil markets. And there are many respected people who seem to be going along with this. To me, it is a sign of what kind of trouble we are in when this kind of artificial economy keeps going forward.
What do you make of former Vice President Joe Biden's opinion piece in the Times? He laid out a plan for how he would, in his administration, would deal with the virus. And one of the big pieces that came out of it was the ramping up of testing. The more people that you test and can trace, the better sense we have of who has the virus. That included, he said, using the Defense Production Act, something that the president won't use.
Of course, Biden has to do this. Right now, it's a golden opportunity. Things are a mess. You're a politician, and you say, I have a better way of doing this. Now, that better way coincides with what an awful lot of people are thinking. It is that we have to test, and he's right about that. So he is the candidate, obviously. He's not Trump, and that seems to be helping him. Every time Trump gets up and speaks to the American people, he makes the kinds of errors in judgment that have an awful lot of tongues wagging. So I'm just simply saying Biden did the right thing in penning the piece. It's obvious that we are now in a mess and have to get out of it. He's not Trump, and that's his biggest asset.
What about Bernie Sanders, Alan? Will he give a full-throated endorsement in the end? Will he be able to motivate those young people that have been so passionate for him?
Well, as we have been discussing over and over again, there's the question as to whether those young people have come out and voted anyway. We know that they don't come out the way that Bernie Sanders expected them to, otherwise he'd be the candidate. So that isn't happening. On the other hand, without the Bernie supporters, Joe Biden can win. He needs them. Those people who think that America needs to be reformatted, that we have to have a different kind of country and a different kind of an economy and a different kind of healthcare system, and we see signs that Biden is listening and that he is saying, okay, since I know I need them, since I know I can't win, I will make the kind of concessions in terms of my public rhetoric that will make a difference. For example, paying back student loans, which everybody knows has become a millstone around people's necks in this country. Biden is right to do that. And there is also a tipping of his hat to the concept of, you know, universal health care of one kind or another. He's not saying tomorrow there ought to be Medicare for all, but he is going towards the Bernie model. Hey, let's face it, Bernie had a lot of very good ideas, which a lot of people agree with.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. We're here, and we will be here.
David, it is so important that everybody support this radio station. I got one letter severely criticizing me for reminding people that they got to put something in the pot in order to keep this thing going. Nevertheless, I have no apologies for that. This radio station is a lifeline. I walk around the streets and people walk up to me and say, thank you for your work. They're not thanking me. They're thanking all of us, you and all the great board ops and everybody else who have been doing this magnificent job of keeping this thing going under the most trying of circumstances. Easy to do. You go to WAMC.org and you put something in. I'm not saying you have to put everything in. Put something in and keep this going because you know how dependent we all are on it.